Night, I want to preach. We sang that song, Waymaker, and I love that song. And it says it all, God is the Waymaker. So I want to preach about the Waymaker from a passage of scripture tonight, and it's out of the book of Isaiah, and it's specifically the Lord speaking to his people Israel. And they are in captivity. They have been disobedient to the Lord. And sometimes when you're disobedient to the Lord, you go into a place of bondage or captivity. And it's a learning place, okay? It's a place to come back to the Lord and to learn from our mistakes and draw closer to Him. Does God move far away from us? No. We're the ones who move, okay? And then He moves towards us to bring us back to Him. And that's exactly what's happening here in the book of Isaiah during the Babylonian captivity. Isaiah was a prophet, and the word of God says that God does nothing unless He reveals it to His prophets, and then the prophets reveal it to us, okay? You might think, oh gosh, I can't hear from God. Well, you know what? Thank God that the prophets can hear, and they can tell us, so we know what God is doing. So here they are in a place of captivity, in exile. They are struggling. They are in a place of challenge and trial. And it's a difficult time. And you might think, you know what? I'm having a difficult time too. Well, during that time, God reminds them of His goodness. And that's exactly what He's doing here. So I want us to be reassured and reminded as we read the word of the Lord to the people of Israel back in the 500 BC. But it's relevant to us right now. The word of God is alive and relates to us here and now. So in the book of Isaiah in chapter 43, verse 1, God says this, "But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name, and you're mine." There's a lot packed into that verse. So let's go and unpack it a little bit. This is God speaking to His people, and He said this, "I created you. I formed you. I redeemed you. And I've called you." Okay? So let's work through that. Created and formed. Well, doesn't that mean the same thing? Actually, it doesn't. Created. What does create mean? Create means to bring something into existence from nothing. Something that was not there becomes there. Created. Okay? So God created us, created them, created Israel out of nothing. Okay? He spoke and it happened. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He created something from nothing. Then He said, "I formed you." When you form something, you give it shape or you give it structure, like you're creating something with pottery. You form it. You create it, you have an idea that wasn't there before. Oh, I think I'll make something. So the creation comes from nothing. And then it becomes an idea or a thought or a vision. Then the form is when you actually begin to make it, okay? So He formed them. In Psalm 139 it says, "I formed you in your mother's womb." Okay? So He created them. Came from the heart of God back, actually. Then He formed them and us. Then He said, "I've redeemed you." He brought them out of Egypt. He brought them out of the captivity in Egypt. And right now they are in a captivity in Babylon. And He's basically saying, "I've redeemed you before. I'm reminding you that I am a redeemer. I've done it before. I can do it again." So He's saying, "I've redeemed you." What does redeem mean? Redeem means to buy something back, to pay a price for something. If there's a debt owing, you redeem it. to get it back. So he basically said, I paid the price for you. I paid the debt that was owing. I've got you back. And now I've called you by your name. We are connected. We are connected. It's not a distant relationship. There's a connection here. I've called you by your name. You're mine. Does that mean you're my possession? I own you? No, he's not saying that. He's not saying I own you. He's saying you belong to me. It's okay. Don't worry. Fear not. Okay? So he's saying you are mine. Then in the next verse, he says what he's going to do. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. In other words, the struggle's not over yet, but I'll be with you. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. You're not going to drown. You're not going under. I'm going to be there. You're going to make it. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. So he's saying, waters, I'll be there. Rivers is more than waters, bigger. And then fire, even scarier. But he's saying, you're going to be okay. You're going to make it. Even though the trials may be difficult, I will be with you. And then we drop down into, after verse 2, he reminds them of what he's done to bring them out before and rescue them and be with them. Then we get down to verse 10. So all these things that he's done for them, he says this, therefore, because I've done all these things, because you've experienced my goodness, he said, you are my witnesses. When you see something, or you hear something, or you know something, or if you've personally gone through it, then you can be a witness. Did you see what happened? Yeah, I saw it. You're a witness, okay? He says, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant, whom I've chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I'm he. I love this part because he doesn't say, you're my servant, right? You do everything I tell you. That's not what it's about. He's saying, you're my witnesses. You know my goodness. You can share it. And when we witness something, he's saying, when you witness my goodness, then, of course, they will be servants with a different kind of heart. They won't be a begrudging servant. They will be an honoring. What can I do, Lord? What more can I do? How can I serve you? It's a different kind of heart attitude. He's saying, because you're my witnesses, my servant, whom I have chosen. I chose you. You're special. Why? So that you can know and believe. He didn't say you're my servant that I've chosen to do whatever I tell you to do, and you better do it. He's not saying that. He's saying I've chosen you so you can know me and believe me and understand that I'm God. I've chosen you for that special revelation, basically. A witness is someone who's a passive observer. You're not involved, you're just watching, okay? You're a spectator. But then he says, then, as a result of being a witness of my goodness, then you become a servant. A servant is someone who is involved, who does things. They don't just watch. They do. They are involved. They are a participator. So you go from being spectator to participator. There is a progression. Why? Because of who he is and because they know him. And then he begins to unfold further. He said, before me, there's no God formed. Nor shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Saviour. He's saying basically, I'm God and there is no other. Everyone else is false. I am the true living God. That's who we call him. The one true living God. He said, before me, there was no other God formed. In other words, I've always been. There will never be another God. I am the Lord. Besides me, there's no Saviour. No one else can save you except me. There is no other Saviour. And this is in the Old Testament, hundreds of years ago. But then in the New Testament, God also came as Saviour. He came in the flesh as Jesus. And Jesus said, I came to seek and save the lost. I am the Saviour. He's saying way back here, there is no other Saviour. And then he says, I've declared and saved. I said I was going to take care of you in Egypt, and I did. I proclaimed, and there was no foreign God among you. There was no other idol, no other God that could save you. Only me. And of course, in Egypt, they saw, they were witnesses. He said, you're my witnesses of all the false gods in Egypt and what happened to them, the plagues that came upon them. And they had to release the people of God. He says, therefore, you're my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. He is the great I am. He's just telling them, you're in the right place. You might be in captivity, but you're on the right track because you've chosen me. You're on the right path. And he makes it very clear. There's nothing hidden. There's no secrets with God. You know who he is. He makes it very, very clear. And then he says this, indeed, before the day was, I am he. And there's no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it? He said, before the day was, before time existed, he was already there. He's eternal. No one created him. No one formed him. He's always been. And you know, for us to actually be able to grasp that concept, you know, people go, oh, well, who created God? Who created God? Where did God come from? God has always been. He's God. And when we get to be with the Lord, I guess we'll have an understanding of it then. But right now, we may not understand it, but we choose to believe it. We know it in our hearts. Our minds can't conceive of it, but our hearts believe it. Our spirit can understand and comprehend it, but we can't actually express it about, except to say, God is God and he's always been. That's it. He said, no one can deliver out of my hand. Like if God has you in his hand, nobody, nobody can snatch you out. No one can take you away from the Lord. We can walk away from him with our own willfulness or in sin, but if we allow him to take hold of our lives, no one can snatch us from his hand. If he says this, I work, if I do something, who's going to change it? I work and who will reverse it? If I say something or I do something, it's my will, no one can change that. That's God. That's what the power of God is. The infinite power of God. And then he restates it. I think he really means it. He wants them to know, I'm the Lord, your Holy One. I love that. Your Holy One. He didn't say your Mighty One. He said your Holy One. He's pure, holy, righteous. And then the Creator of Israel. Wow. God created Israel, and they are the apple of his eye. No one will destroy them. And throughout the centuries, there's been attempts to destroy that nation, but they never will. They never will, because God is their creator, and he is their king. He will sustain them. And despite their disobediences, you know, you read it in the Old Testament, they were human. They erred. They sinned. But they are still in the heart of God, still created by God, and He's still their King, even now. He says, I'm the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters. He's saying, not only am I your God, I'm not only the Holy One and your Creator and your King, but I'm the way maker. I will make a way. You right now feel like there's no way out. There's no way out of here. He said, but I'm the way maker. I'll make a way in the sea, like the Red Sea, like the Jordan River. He parted the waters. He made a pathway. And they walked through on dry land. He said, I've redeemed you before and I do it again. Hallelujah. And then he goes on to a different track. He says, this is what I've done. Now I want you to do this. He said, don't remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Don't be concerned about your failures in the past. Don't beat yourself up, basically. Don't be stuck. And sometimes we get stuck. We get stuck in disappointments. We get stuck in unforgiveness. We get stuck in a place of failure. And we never move forward. He's saying, don't remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. To remember is more short term. You remember something, somebody's telling you, oh yeah, I remember that. It's like something just pops up. Remember is short, but considering is longer. He said, don't remember the former things or consider the things of old. In other words, don't dwell on things. Don't meditate on things that are negative. If you get stuck on looking back, you never look forward. Why? He's saying, I want you to shift your focus. Regardless of where you are, I'm going to make a way. He's saying, look, shift your focus. I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. It's going to pop up. When this word came, they're about two-thirds of the way through the captivity. The captivity lasted about 70 years. So they had a few years to wait. But this word came when they were probably thinking, nothing's going to change. And sometimes we feel like that nothing's going to change. And then someone will come with a word and say, you know, it's going to be all right. God's going to make a way. Things will happen. There will be a new thing. He said it shall spring forth. And shall you not know? He's saying it won't be hidden from you. It'll be obvious. It'll be evident. Just like the Red Sea. Just like coming out of Egypt. Just like going through the Jordan River. These things were evident. You'll see it. You'll know it. He said, you'll know it. He said, I'll make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I will do things that seem impossible. I'll make a way. I'm the way maker. I'll make a way, a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Rivers in the desert speaks of provision. The road in the wilderness, this speaks about the journey when they go back from Babylon to Jerusalem. It's like hundreds of miles for them to get back. But he said, I will be with you. I'll make the way and I'll make the provision. Don't worry that things will be bad. There'll be like rivers. There'll be good things happening on the way back. And I will take you back. I will redeem you. So they're in captivity because of their disobedience, but God still loves them. He said, I'll still make a way for you. Why? We go back to verse 4. He said, this is why. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honoured. They wouldn't have felt like they'd been honoured. He said, I've loved you. I care about you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. What does that mean? That means that he will override others for their sake. Others will be overcome for their sake, for the sake of the people of Israel. They will be overcome so that Israel will be saved, so that Israel will prevail. He will make a way because they are precious in his sight. And for us too, we are precious in his sight. Sure, this is in the Old Testament. Is this just for Israel? Absolutely not. It's for anyone who believes in the Lord. How do I know? We go back to these verses again. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except from me. God was the way maker. He made the way back to himself through Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the way. Make your way back to heaven. Make your way back to the Father through believing in me. And why did God this do it? Again, in the New Testament, he reiterates, he told Israel, I love you. I care about you. You're precious. And in John 3:16, it says, God so loved the world. He loved the whole world. That's the love of God. He's loved the whole world. He gave his only begotten Son. He made the way that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is the waymaker. Jesus is the waymaker for everyone who will believe. He's already made the way. You know, he's made the way of salvation, but he makes a way for us in everyday things as well. And whatever you're going through right now, God can make the way for you. He can make a way for you to be restored to a family member that you're having a struggle with. You know, sometimes things shut down in families, especially when not everybody knows the Lord. Communications break down. When things happen in the workplace, you know, God will make a way for you to receive favor. God will make a way for you to go out of that place into something better. God will make a way for you to stay here in Australia if that's his will. God will make a way for that healing to come into your life. God will make a way because he is the way maker. Thank you, Lord. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That's our God. That's who he is. Lord, we just thank you that you are the way maker. You've made the way. And when we choose you as our path, as you are the way of life, Lord, you will make the way for us straight. That you'll take us through the waters. You take us through the rivers. You take us through the fires. We believe that you are who you say you are. Lord, I pray for each and every one that whatever their trial may be, that you will make a way for them. Lord, in their decision making, Lord, in their financial situations, in their relationships. Lord, and as we all pray that you make the way of salvation clear to those that we're praying for, let it be a breakthrough year for souls for the kingdom. because that's why you came, to seek to save the lost. We just bless you and thank you, Lord, for the things that you've done, things that you're doing, things that you will do, that you created us, that you have formed us, you have redeemed us, you've called us, and most of all, you love us. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Okay, if anyone wants prayer, I want to pray with you. Otherwise, have an awesome week and say hi to somebody. God bless you. See everyone.
Hey, Chris. You got into the sermon.